Welcome to Job Tales, the show where we find out about different professions from the people who know. Each week, I'll speak to a new guest with an inspiring job. We talk to photographers, behavioral scientists, doctors, pianists, you name it. We hear about their personal path to doing what they do, the skills that are required, and the tools they use for their job. I'm Laura Leoncini, and today my guest is Marisa Copley, a costume designer, costume and fashion designer, actually. If you're interested in fashion, indeed, you can be a costume designer, a dressmaker, a wardrobe stylist, and much more. So Marisa's job tale is interesting because she has touched on several jobs in the world of costume, and she will be able to give you some good hints. Marisa, let's talk about costume. I'm so happy to have you on board. There was a little bit of technical hiccups, but that happens when podcasting, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so happy to be here as well. Thanks so much. I love your podcast. I think it's fantastic.
I wish we'd
had it when I started.
That's what I tell myself too. Like, oh man, I wish I had known about all these jobs. And so about your job, it's very intriguing because also not many people know about, you know, the film industry or design and fashion. So, and you have touched on all of these aspects. So tell me how you started with costume.
Okay. Well, my background is in fashion. I think how I started in costume was probably when I was about 5 years old. I used to see how many different ways I could wrap my towel at bath time. That was the beginning of what is actually a thing called draping that you do with fabric. So I'm a specialist draper and a self-taught draper. It seems to be in my genes. So that is partly how I got into it. And I began in fashion, but I always knew that I didn't only want to do fashion. And then I went into costume design, mostly for different various forms of dance, which was always super interesting to me. And I, as a dancer as well, makes sense. So yeah, it's a lot of juggling of different things. I got my first job in fashion by going to a boutique that I really loved that stocked independent designers and asking for a meeting with the owner. I had no idea really what I was doing. And she took a chance on me, which was very lovely of her. I had a little bit to show for my portfolio. I had done some short summer courses at the London College of Fashion in the UK. And I had that. So I had a few little pictures and I had like two outfits that I'd made. One of them was a trick dance dress for a friend of mine, which I'd agreed to do before I even actually knew how to sew. So I had these little things, but I guess she saw the enthusiasm and I owe her a lot for that. She was wonderful and helped me actually a little bit with how to do costings and things like that, which I didn't know about. And there it was. And I started my label. I sewed my first collection and vowed I would never sew the whole thing again. And that's how I started.
Fantastic. So you started basically, by knocking at doors.
Yes.
And you didn't know how to sew first, right? You learned after.
Yeah, when I first wanted to design, I didn't grow up sewing or anything. My mom actually sews well, but I never learned that. So that was something that came a little bit later. And I'm still not a good seamstress, but I understand enough to be able to hire people who are amazing and who do that their whole life. So I think you have to have a basic understanding of the different technical elements, but you do not have to be a sewing master to be a costume designer.
Mm-hmm. So when you are a costume designer, you basically design, you know, invent and design the actual costume, and then someone else sews it and then finalizes it, right? Or cuts it even, because there's cutters. I remember from the film industry, there's a cutter, there's a designer. Yeah, can you tell me more?
Yeah, absolutely. So depending on how you do the process, you can have people specialize in separate things. So you can have a pattern maker that does these flat patterns, the 2D patterns that you can use. And then you have a cutter who specializes in literally just cutting those out, laying them up, because there's obviously many ways you could lay up wrong if you have all these different pattern pieces. So you're trying to conserve your fabric and its own skill. And then you have the person sewing it. And then you also have fittings for your custom designs. You're always fitting it onto an actual person. So I can do all of those things. I do I do the pattern making and cutting better than I sew, but I do prefer other people to do it for me. The part that I still do to this day is the fittings and the draping. So when you drape, that is where you don't need a flat pattern. You're actually working on a mannequin or on an actual person using the fabric. Oh, I feel it's like playing with the fabric, letting the fabric partly guide the design. So I really love that. And you're sort of designing in four dimensions rather than two dimensions, right? Or however many dimensions they really are in real life, who knows?
What is draping, you know, compared to, you know, when fitting and draping? Can you explain a bit more?
So draping, actually quite a lot of people don't even know what it is who are designers. Draping is instead of, say, drawing a sketch and then turning that into your flat pattern, like working out, you know, how is the sleeve going to go or whatever in two dimensions on a flat piece of paper or cardboard, you are working out how your design is going to be literally by pinning things onto a mannequin or onto a person. So you're taking this piece of fabric and you're pinning it onto a mannequin and you're cutting it as you go. So you're actually making, here's the shape of your sleeve, you're pinning it on. So you're working in, like I say, you're working in the four dimensions rather than trying to plot your design onto a flat pattern. I don't know if that makes sense. So a lot of times draping, I mean, the oldest form of draping that most people know of would be your Grecian dresses. You know, there's and there's kind of over the one shoulder, you know, like there's Julius Caesar with his fabric going over the one shoulder. That's sort of the earliest example of draping that I think people could possibly know.
Right. And then the fitting is that when there's already a shape being given and sewing being done?
So it's already sewn, it's partially sewn, and then you're putting it on to the person to make sure that it fits them perfectly. So you've worked from their measurements, or maybe if you've a draper, you've even draped on them, but there'll still be some sewing. So now, you know, maybe you have where the zip is going to go, but you just want to make sure you have things like darts, which are bits which you take in to shape something, like say underneath someone's bust or something like this. So you can, you're basically taking in little bits here and there to make it fit that person perfectly. So when you do a fitting, you're using pins and then you'll have it sewn up based on the pins, how it's pinned.
Okay. So do I understand correctly? Do you need to be a good at drawing in order to be a designer? Because I mean, the first idea I imagine is on, you know, you put like a sketch down something on paper.
Yes, I would say overall you do. I mean, there may be designers who can't draw and who get other people to draw for them, but it certainly would be a very good skill to have. You don't have to do like stunning illustrations. You just have to be able to draw your idea clearly. So as long as you can do what we call a technical drawing, that would help you. So that is like what the thing would look like if it was just lying flat down on the ground.
Okay.
So you don't actually have to be able to draw it on a person in theory, although I think that when you're working with clients and everything, you should be able to do that, because otherwise how do you communicate your idea? So being able to draw is a huge one, and also being able to communicate your ideas clearly, spoken and written, both of those also will help, because you invariably end up using all three of those to communicate your idea, because not everyone will get it just from one or the other. Well, that's what I've found anyway.
Yeah. And do you use a pen and paper, or do you use the computer? Like, are there apps or, you know, software that really helps with this?
So there are lots of ways you can do it. I still love to start with pen and paper. That's still my favorite. And I love to use paints and all of that. But if I'm in a rush for a client or something like this, sometimes I'm working on a bunch of different jobs or something like that, then I will use Photoshop to perhaps change colors or fill in colors. So I will do basically a pen drawing in that case. So I have black lines, and then I use Photoshop just to very simply fill in different colors and things. That's so I don't have to redraw it every time for the client.
Okay.
But sometimes I do redraw it. And in Photoshop, you can also take your fabric, a picture of your fabric, and you can scale it to what you think is about the right size for the drawing. So you're looking at, let's say you have a flower print or something, you're going to make those flowers about roughly the same size on your drawing as they would be on a person. So you can give a very accurate idea of that type of thing to your clients that is where I find Photoshop and those type of programs are helpful. Because, I mean, to draw all of the, you know, to draw a print, especially a really detailed one, or to paint it in, that would take you a long time.
Do you find it difficult to start a career, like being independent in this industry? You know, I guess you need to find your customers, you need to be known and, you know, get your, your work around.
Right. I think I've been very lucky in a lot of ways. Of course, there have been very difficult times too, and you don't always have steady work. But I think somehow the enthusiasm just seemed to drive me forward, and then that's how I got. That's how I've gotten almost all my work. In fact, I still do that to this day. I still do that sort of cold calling thing with boutiques and stuff around the world for my fashion collection. So. But I don't think you can fake that. I think that if you're not that type of person who connects with people easily and who that comes naturally to, I wouldn't advise doing that. I suppose how to start would be to make stuff or draw it if you have the ideas, so that you have something to show. So you have some portfolio to show. The visual is going to be your biggest aid on that, right? Because you can say, I'd love to do this, but how do you show that you've actually have the capacity, right? So I think that's important. Or you could you could make something. You could even go to a costume house and style something. You could put things together and take photos of it. Anything that you can do. But probably the cheapest and the easiest is to draw.
You were saying that being a dancer, you started also designing a costume for dancers. Is that how you started, right?
So actually, the first dance costumes that I did, I'm not sure if I was actually dancing in the style that I do now or not, but I was asked, because they knew that I did fashion, there were two contemporary dancers who were in a big show here, and they asked me to come on board and work with them on the project. So those were the first dance costumes, and I was like, wow, because I'm not a contemporary dancer, and it was a lovely challenge for me to see what type of costume they needed for the movement that they were doing. You know, what was going to be something that was really comfortable for them to wear, that they didn't have to think about while they were dancing, and really reflected the piece that they were doing. So that was really fun for me. And I realized, yes, I would actually love to do. I had always thought of doing costume design more for characters or films and that sort of stuff. And here was an opportunity to do it for dance. So that is partly how I got into it, apart from doing my own dance costumes. And then I realized I love to design for movement. And I think that's the thread that runs through everything, because obviously when you wear clothes of any kind or costumes, you are moving around in them to some degree. So true. It's kind of important.
It's kind of important.
And it makes me sad to see people very uncomfortable in their clothes. The one sort of stereotype is like the bride who's sitting there like pulling her dress up the whole time, and you're just like, oh no. So I want people to feel comfortable and great in whatever I make, whether it's a character that they're playing with the costume or a dancer on stage. I want the clothes to enhance them so that it's almost the costume is one with the person. For me, that's important.
Great. And how did you get into the world of filmmaking?
So actually, when I started my fashion business, I funded it myself, and I was doing all kinds of odd jobs in the film industry because I have my eldest brother's in the film industry. So I ended up doing bits and pieces of everything. And then I decided, so I had to think about it. It was a little tricky, like, do I want to go into film? Because obviously you can do all these amazing creative things. And I decided not to go into film because you have basically no life outside of that. You have to do this project. You know, you can't do multiple careers if you're going to do that. I wouldn't have been able to dance because you have no time. You know, you have 3 to 6 months in any locations that you're going to do. You're working exclusively on that film. And actually, the head of department on costume design on a film is often not even on the set in the end. So you, it's a lot of logistics. And so I decided not to do that, but I was still very interested in the film side of things. So I actually went into it through advertising, because then your jobs are shorter. It's not as creative usually. So I mostly ended up doing wardrobe styling. And then occasionally there's costume design when, you know, the ad is something a little more interesting.
Okay. So it's called wardrobe styling. So both for film and then for advertising.
Yes, there's wardrobe styling and then there's costume design. So costume design is where you're making everything from scratch. You're creating the design, you're coming up with the concept. And then wardrobe styling is where you are usually just choosing the clothing that the people are going to wear. So in ads, you see mostly just wardrobe styling. And that is, you know, your jeans and t-shirt. But a lot of work has gone into which jeans and which t-shirt.
It's interesting what you said, that, you know, that to fund your main profession, you were doing some odd jobs in the film industry, and that your, you know, siblings were in there already. Because in my experience, it's very difficult to enter the film industry. Yeah, you need to know someone, or you need to start with very odd jobs, like you say.
Right.
Which is also a good message to convey, you know, to listeners that are feeling very creative and would like to take on this career, but don't have, you know, don't have a client base or know where to start. So to not be afraid of doing something that is maybe completely, you know, away from what you want to do, but maybe in the same field. And then from there, you build your reputation and you start chatting with the art department and with the costume department. And then you, you know, go up the ladder that way by, you know, first pushing a few coffees and then.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, if you really want to do something like that, I think if you do your research of whatever's happening in your area, whatever companies, you know, so you want to be in costume design, find a costume designer that you think is really great, that is living near to you, and see if you can offer. Can you make their coffees? Can you volunteer some days of your time for free? I think that most of them would actually go for that because they're looking for your enthusiasm. And I find most film industry people, it is a profession where you generally have to put your ego out of the way. So most of them are fantastic. They're so, you know,
that's true.
And they do, I think they do respond well to people's genuine enthusiasm and passion. And you would want that on your team. So even if you couldn't hire a new costume assistant, maybe you could have someone come on for free. And if you bond well with that person or you work well with them and they see the talent, I think that would work with most people.
With most people, yeah. So did you end up doing any wardrobe or design in the film?
I was an assistant wardrobe stylist several times and little bits and pieces here and there. But as I say, at that point, I wasn't wanting to do costume design, but I did love those jobs because I could go to these big costume houses and see, it was like paradise just walking around in there. So inspiring, you know, this, like a library of all these outfits and amazing characters. So yeah, I really enjoyed that.
What are the other, let's say, sectors where you could be a costume designer? You know, you mentioned dance, you mentioned films, there's advertising. Are there any other, you know, aspects that you can think of, or, you know, industries where you could be, you know, where a costume designer could be sought after?
Oh, yes, theater. And then, of course, you've got all different types of dance. Then you've also got, if you think about any kind of specialized performance, you could be a costume designer, say, for ice skaters or something like this. So many people do specialize. Yeah. You can have specializing in, you know, salsa clothes or ballet wear or that type of thing. Then, yeah, in theater, you can also specialize in all kinds of things. Like you could specialize in, say, making corsetry from a certain era. And then people would buy your stuff for their films. So you don't necessarily have to work on a film you can find something that you are really passionate about and then specialize in that. Or you can try a bunch of things first. Or you can do a fusion like I do.
A fusion, yeah. So you do a bunch of it. Yeah, I was going to ask, is specialization a must in order to succeed or can you vary?
I think it depends on your goal. I think if you want stability, then you would maybe go through a route where you try to be an intern somewhere and sort of work your way through like that, or be mentored by someone who's really brilliant. Say you wanted to do this corsetry thing, you could try and get a mentor that would teach you and then you specialize in that. But I definitely think that the whole industry in general thrives on diversity. So it wouldn't be a bad thing to be able to do lots of different types of design.
And do you think the school helps, you know, having an education in this sector helps, or you can be the self-taught, would it be the same? Or, you know, there's an advantage? Because when speaking, for instance, to some other kind of artists or people that work in the film industry, they say, you know, there's no school that can teach you that.
Right. That's true. In the film industry, there's a lot that you have to learn.
Yeah.
Being there.
You just need to be there.
It's very intense. You just need to be there, and you need to be able to do problem solving very, very fast. And, you know, in film, you're counting your time in seconds, not in minutes or hours.
Yeah.
So, yes, true. That's definitely, I almost think everyone should spend one day on set just doing something just to see how fast you can actually function, because it's fantastic. And how you know.
That's so true.
How you can learn to make really quick decisions. That would be, and take your ego away, because you can't take anything personally. If you've messed up, that's too bad. You don't have time to be like, why did I do that?
Yeah, for sure. So
definitely studying helps. I find, even as a wardrobe stylist, I found that my fashion background helped me a lot. And other things like just being observant of people. If you have the opportunity to travel, or you have an opportunity to experience different cultures in whatever way, other things like languages, because they teach you a lot about different cultures, those things are all going to help you. History, that would also help you.
Oh, yeah. No, of course. Yeah.
I suppose just curiosity about everything, but certainly some kind of learning, official learning, would definitely be helpful. I studied in London, but I couldn't afford to do a full degree there. And so I did their summer intensive courses, which really turned out to be amazing, because it was learning from professionals who normally wouldn't be able to teach. But now, because they were doing these 1 week modules, which you could choose your own sections, you ended up with the most amazing people. So, for example, I learned beadwork. It's called tambour beading, where you bead on a little loom. It's almost like this kind of old paintings that you see with women sitting there with their beading. It's like that. Mm. And I learned from the woman who was in charge of beading Princess Diana's wedding dress. So those kind of tutors really helped me to learn. And the pattern making person as well, he was so precise. He'd been going for so many years, and he was just so knowledgeable. And all of my tutors were amazing. And I think those specializations and those people actually, in my case, because of what I've done with it and because of the way my career went, that almost helped me more than doing a whole degree, because a lot of the business stuff, you sort of have to figure it out as you go. And also, if you don't study in the same place where you're going to work, then the connections that you make there, it's not really going to help you. So that's another consideration. If you're going to study in a different country in terms of fashion or costuming, you will have to change everything when you get back home.
You'll change everything.
You know, so you've learned now all these different fabric shops, and maybe, you know, you've met a few people here and there, but now when you go back to wherever you are, you're not going to know anyone who are the fabric manufacturers, things like that. It's just a practical element to it. But I definitely think it's a good idea to study somewhere else as well. So there are pros and cons to anything, but certainly a little bit of study or mentorship, that I suppose that would also work. You could, there are fantastic dressmakers here who basically they're creating things, but they don't design. They generally copy things. So someone will bring them a picture of a dress, but they are mostly self-taught, the ones that I know, and they are amazing. But they were generally then, I say self-taught, but really they were mentored by someone who would have learned, say, in a bridal boutique or something like this. So it is possible to do that if you had a really great mentor to teach you. But that would be like a tutor then, you know.
Do you find that you need to have an initial budget in order to then get the ball rolling and then be able to do your first dresses and then show them around for first clientele?
Yes, but I had only made 2 outfits when I got my first job. So I don't think you have to make a lot. Like I say, you could do a lot of drawings as well. And you could even use things like, I used to love having costume parties, and never really occurred to me I could have used the pictures from all the costumes that I did for that, for my costume design. So there are ways of getting your first job without spending the money. But in terms of if you start your own label, though, and you would end up doing consignment, which is where people don't buy the stuff outright from you. You are kind of leaving it in the shop and they are selling whatever they can and then they're giving you back the rest of the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So that is not a great deal, but that is often how young designers have to start in fashion. And then you do need funds. So if you had a backer, that would help you a lot. And otherwise you'd have to do what I did, which is like all these odd jobs. And I had a great au pairing job with a very arty family. And that's how I funded my first collection.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, so au pair in London?
No, I was in Cape Town. I was in South Africa.
In Cape Town, South Africa. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. And this is
I came back home and then I started, yes, absolutely. Came back home and started the business. Like, I thought it was going to be very different than it was.
And one final advice to the young listeners who want to become designers like you?
One thing I haven't mentioned is the ethical side. So I always wanted to have ethical design. And that basically means being able to, for me anyway, being able to trace the line, you know, so you're not supporting sweatshops. And you can do that by mostly supporting local, so places you can actually see the factories, you can, you know, you have the personal connections. So I would say that that is something I would advise, considering what you're doing and the state of the planet. Kindness and consideration and your environmental impact as a designer, those are all really important. And even if you only make a small difference, that's still really important. So think about your fabrics and who you're dealing with and how you're dealing with them.
That's a very good, Marisa. Thank you so much, because it's so important. And the fashion industry specifically has a lot of, you know, outcomes and about this and the,
right,
the non-ethical use of fabrics and sweatshops and the use of minors and
right, and even how you treat people. You know, I never used conventional models because I didn't want people to feel they have to look a certain way to wear my clothes.
Mm.
So it's that, those kind of things, that makes a big difference. That I believe it does anyway.
Awesome. No, that's great. Thank you so much for contributing to my podcast, and all the best of luck to you.
Yeah, and to the young designers as well. Go for it, guys.
That was Marisa Copley, costume and fashion designer. If you'd like to listen to this episode again or more from the Jobtail series, then go to worldradio.ch/jobtails or search Jobtails wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Laura Leoncini, and I'll be back next week for another episode of Jobtails with a brand new guest at the same time next week on WRS.